Good morning. And welcome to you all. Today we have three services, and you're welcome to them all. This evening will be our relaxed carols by candlelight, starting at 6:30. On Monday, there will be the parents and toddlers Christmas party, and on Wednesday, there is the Tots Praise Christmas celebration, and soon after that, at 1 o'clock, there will be the foyer carol service. How fortunate are we as a church to have so many opportunities to worship and share fellowship together. For pastoral news, I just need to tell you that there are three gifts left to be delivered. So if you can help, please do. One for Valerie Parkinson, one for Evelyn White, and one for Margaret Jones. Speak to Leslie if you can. This is a reminder that the coffee bar service will be closed between Christmas and New Year and will reopen on Wednesday, the 2nd of January. There is no book club this Tuesday, but the next meeting will be on the 15th of January. And finally, just to say that £205 was raised for Christian Aid at the carol singing on Thursday. So thank you to all of you who were there. Thank you.
1, 2, 3. Come on, you're only 10, you're not 13. What do we think? Do you want to come up? No? Okay. You can write two. Because one for her and one for you. Is that fair? Even though it's your birthday? Come on, let's crack on. Right, you can do this. You just press that down. Just press that down. Press it down. That's it. Beautiful. One. That's it. Lovely. Two. One for you, one for you. Press it down. That's it, lovely. And another one. Maybe you come walk round. It's lovely, thank you. Fantastic, thank you, thank you. So we light the first candle that Jesus would make us open to the world. We relight our second candle that Jesus would help us to bear good fruit. And we light the third candle that Jesus would help us to change. So we join together to sing. Remaining as we are, let us pray. O God, we thank you that Jesus showed your love for every person, babies and children, old and young, sick people and those who were strong, rich people and those who were poor. Come to us this Advent season and give us love in our hearts for all your people. Lord, we pray. Amen. Somewhere I've lost the order of service, so we join together to sing the first hymn, which is... And the winner is Janine! Woo! Back into the reverence trail. On Jordan's bank, the Baptist cry, we join together to sing. We join together to pray. Let us pray. God of urgency and passion, you chose John the Baptist to be your prophet and to embody earthly holiness. We could recoil from his challenge. We could miss the glimpses of your love, your peace in his words. Turn our faces towards Bethlehem and let us come close to you. Rejoicing, for you, our Lord, we praise and adore you, for your birth transcends all time and unites heaven and earth. And we at this season may be consumed with feasting and celebration. But you are God, whose comforts are beyond that which is passing. And you have love that is eternal. And you offer to us not that which you can buy with money. But that which is free, but not cheap. Help us to make this Christmas time a time when we reflect on the wonder of the story and to consider what it might mean for the world's poor and vulnerable. For you know that we are people who do not always get it right. We are complacent when we could be daring. We are people who don't find it easy to change. We ask for your grace. Shape us and reshape us day by day. We pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. Oh, I don't even have to ask. Okay, today we're going to talk about change, and I'm going to ask the adults, to begin with, to think about things that have changed during the course of your lifetime. And I'm thinking, in the first instance, of nationally or internationally. So have a quick think, and then maybe we'll get some suggestions about things that have changed during the course of your lifetime. Any suggestions? Oh, there's two. I'm coming to you first.
The Berlin Wall coming down in 1989.
Very positive one to begin with. The Berlin Wall coming down in 1989. Thank you, Bethany. Christine?
It's all got worse. And it's not like me to say that.
Oh, it's all got worse and the world's going to end by the end of the service. Some things, you're right, have definitely got worse. Let's be realistic. Some things have got better, surely.
More multicultural and diverse, which has lots of great benefits.
Okay, thank you.
Computers.
That might fall into the category of things getting worse. No, it's good. I'm joking. Yeah, we've got a lot more technology, haven't we? What about for the children? You've had changes as well. Who's changed classes at school? What year are you now, Dahi? Year five. And what year are you? Year six. Julia, she's very shy. Does she go to school? She's very shy. She's not telling me, that's fine. So we change classes at school, don't we? We go up, we get a new teacher. Do you like your teacher? You like your teacher, that's good. We change jobs. Put your hands up if you've changed jobs in your lifetime. How many people have had more than two jobs? More than three jobs? More than four jobs? Wow, five jobs? Six jobs? Wow. Moving house, that's a big change, isn't it? That's a very big and sometimes quite stressful change. Changes can be quite challenging, but they can also be exciting opportunities as well. Who's had a new brother or sister? At one stage, it was just you, wasn't it? And then who came along? Julia came along, that's right. That's a big change for you and for Mummy and Daddy as well, I'm sure. We get new brothers and sisters. We get, sometimes people get married, so they get a husband or a wife. That's a big change, isn't it? And things get worse. Back to Christine's. they certainly will now. Changes have to be made, and we have to change the way that we behave and the way that we think and our perspective sometimes. I wonder if God ever asks us to change our attitudes, our behaviour, the way we think about certain people and things. Today, you're going to be thinking about how God asks us to change. And someone in the Bible whose name begins with J, but it's not Jesus. It's not James. It's not Joseph. It's which John? The minister's just given you the answer. So go on then. No, say it.
Baptist.
John the Baptist. And he talked to people about change. The changes they needed to make in order to follow God more closely. Okay? But before you do that, we're going to sing. We're going to sing Make Way, Make Way. So please stand and join in with our next song.
God bless you. Can you all remember it's Dahi's birthday today? I was going to sing happy birthday.
messed it up, sorry. So make sure you all wish her a happy birthday. It's 10 today. This joyous reading from Isaiah, which Camilo Fernandez will read to us.
The first reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 12, starting at verse 2. God is my Savior. I will trust him and not be afraid. The Lord gives me power and strength. He is my Savior. As fresh waters brings joy. Lord, call for him to help you. Tell all the nations what he has done. Tell him how great he is. Sing to the Lord because of the great things he has done. Let the whole world hear the news. Let everyone who lives in Zion shout and sing. Israel's holy God is great, and he lives among his peoples. Thanks be to God.
Amen. So somebody's already asked me, why are the Advent readings just so gloomy? What you've got to get your head around is, Advent is like Lent, okay? When you think of Advent, think Lent. It's like the run-up to the wah of Easter. It's the wah of Christmas, okay? If you're going to have a great, huge time of light and joy and celebration, then you need a bit of contrast, and that's what we're going through now. This is the time for us in the church of waiting and preparation. Right. So, here we have John the Baptizer. This is a summary of his teaching. He speaks to the crowds, and the crowds are familiar with this material, as are we. These are the words of the prophets. Do not be comfortable in your religious status. Be aware that you too, he says to the people, are going to be judged. Now, we would like it to be that we could change our lives with one big grand gesture. But that is not how it is. Our lives are to be changed by a million small daily choices. Ruth Anderson will read this passage to us.
Crowds of people came out to John to be baptized by him. "You snakes," he said to them, "who told you that you could escape from the punishment God is about to send? Do those things that will show that you have turned from your sins. And don't start saying among yourselves that Abraham is your ancestor. I tell you that God can take these stones and make descendants for Abraham. The axe is ready to cut down the trees at the roots. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown in the fire." The people asked him, "What are we to do then?" He answered, "Whoever has two shirts must give one to the man who has none, and whoever has food must share it." Some tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what are we to do?" "Don't collect more than is legal," he told them. Some soldiers also asked him, "What about us? What are we to do?" He said to them, Don't take money from anyone by force or accuse anyone falsely. Be content with your pay. People's hopes began to rise, and they began to wonder whether John might perhaps be the Messiah. So John said to all of them, I baptize you with water, but someone who is coming is much greater than I am. I am not good enough even to untie his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He has his winnowing shovel with him to thresh out all the grain and gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn the chaff in a fire that never goes out. In many different ways, John preached the good news to the people and urged them to change their ways.
Let's pray. Open our ears to hear you, Lord Jesus. Open my mouth to speak your word. Lord, we pray. Amen. It's a thing that people say to me on a Sunday morning. I heard what you said, and I know that I have to change. But by Monday, or maybe Tuesday on a good week, I'm back to my old ways. So we're not talking about law breaking or maximal deviancy, but it might be somebody's wanting to pray more. It might be they want to stop drinking so much alcohol. It might be that they need to clear out the rubbish. They know that they need to read more. They need to stop watching the telly, whatever it is. And in this passage, John the baptizer goes from accusation to specific action plans. And I know some of the language is scary, but it is the role of the speaker to try to engage the listener. None of us in our pulpits and our platforms has the right to be listened to. And John speaks and challenges and uses some pretty scary imagery. But imagery is what it is. The people come because they want a religious ceremony. They want baptism. And John tells them that they have to act. Do those things that God is calling you to do. Do not think that your religious pedigree will avert your need for good behavior. Our equivalent, I guess, would be, do not think that just because you've got a fantastic testimony story, God will not judge you. Do not think that all those years of service to the institution of the church will mean that you are to escape God's judgment. The power to decide about eternity is God's. And John uses the metaphor, and metaphor is what it is, about an axe being at the root of a tree. And the people say, what are we to do? And to a range of specific people, John, or I would say Jesus, for I recognize this as Jesus' truth, calls them out. And he doesn't call them out on their religious practice, please notice. He doesn't say, you're not praying enough. You're not going to the synagogue enough. When was the last time you did a good sacrifice? He doesn't say any of that. He says, you're not doing enough for good causes. You're being greedy and acquiring stuff. He talks about corrupt practices in somebody's work. He talks about taking backhanders. He talks about law breaking in a minor, socially normalized scale.
he talks, which is abuse of institutional power. Message of the season, which we know, God is born among us in Jesus, the Word made flesh. The question is, what are we going to do about it? What difference is it going to make for us? What will change? Now, if I was where you are, I'd be thinking to myself, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to, next year is going to be the year when I did it. But we all know what it is. We all know what it is to have those resolutions in our heads. We need a plan and we need a structure. First thing to tell you about is this thing called the 20-second rule. If we have to wait and change or act and it takes more than 20 seconds, we won't do it. So if we're in a room with the telly buttons and we know we want to read a book, if it would take us 20 seconds to go and get the book, we won't do it. We'll put on the telly. That's what we do. If we know that we're meant to drink more water, we know we're meant to drink more water, but we'd have to get up, go into the kitchen, get a glass of water, come back in, sit, drink our water, we won't do it. But if there is a jug of water and we remember we're meant to drink more water, we'll drink more water. 20 seconds, 20 seconds is all it takes for our resolve to be broken. So, if you are a person who overspends, look at what's in your purse before you go out. Get rid of your cards. Make some choices about the amount of cash you carry. It's the need to be proactive rather than just keeping on the cycle of moaning at ourselves, beating ourselves up, to recognize the reality. You know, the Christian message is a message of good news, but it also is a message that takes sin seriously. Our ability to mess things up. Of course, we can just stick to wallowing. But Jesus is offering us life in all its fullness. Of course, prayer, worship, religious practices are important. But that's where we connect with that which reminds us of what we need to do. It makes us take time to stop and realize that things have got to change. So, for example, if perchance, it's not the truth, but if the, perchance I was a person who drank too much alcohol, I have my addictions, alcohol isn't one of them. If I was a person, I'm just putting that out there in case a rumor spreads. Yeah, it's an illustration, it's not about me. Right, if I was a person who drank too much alcohol, why would that be an issue for me as a Christian? Answer, because I've paid a bit of attention to the scriptures and I know that my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit and I have a sense of calling on my life and I know that God requires certain things of me. Therefore, I need to look after my flesh so that I can do that which God requires of me. So it's the stopping, it's the praying, it's the reading the Bible. That is why that matters. But it's not the end in itself. We do that, we stop, we pray, we read the scriptures, and we need to move into action. The call to be a follower of Jesus Christ is about the transformation of the whole of our lives. Not those bits that people might think of as the religious bits. That passage from John was to people in their working lives. How do you do your job? Do you work for justice in the way that you do your job? Do you keep in the straight and narrow? Even though the whole culture is against it, do you keep doing what you know to be right? How are you going to do that? So you want to be more committed to giving money to the poor because you know it is right and you know what God requires of you. How are you going to stop yourself frittering your money away? The internal conversation about that is about our holiness walk. It's about not buying stuff that you don't need. And I would say, you see that illustration that John used about the two shirts? I would say that somebody in Britain in 2018 actually does need more than two shirts. But I would say they do not need 50. Yeah? So the passage in Luke could look like a horribly depressing accusation that is completely contrary to this season. But it describes itself, and I want to say to you, I think the scripture is right, it's good news. It's about saying that our lives actually really matter to the one who created the universe. How amazing is that? That is good news, brothers and sisters. It's not comfortable news, but it's good news. And it says, if you are committed to walking the way of Jesus every day, there are things that you and I can do about it. So I'd like to tell you about an idea that I've had. I read it somewhere, didn't invent it, and I wonder whether it might work for some of us. You know how every church in the universe wants to have small groups, and very few of them do? Well, this is a very specific small group idea. What happens is a group of people who actually want to make a difference allow the Holy Spirit to make a difference in the way that they live life. They get together for 6 weeks. They meet every week, and they make a decision about what they believe the implications of the gospel are for the way that they will live life. They make a rule, capital R, for themselves. They don't import a rule from other places. They don't feel obligated to do what other people do, but they make their own rule. For 6 weeks, they make their rule. And then they meet every month to challenge one another about whether they are living by the rule that they have made. I wonder. You're right. Too tough. Not doing that. I just want to sit here in my negativity, and I want to just hold on to my low mood about myself. And yet, what does it mean from Isaiah that God gives us the power and the strength? What does it mean to call on God to help us? What does it mean We have all tried to do whatever it is on our own. We have tried. We have failed. Is it possible? Is it possible that the answer to the question is, what shall we do? Is get some people to help us and get some people to hold us to account. Get some people who will support us in our battles. Because, let's be clear, we all have them. Let's be silent together, and then we will pray. What should we do? What should I do? God of action and God of silence, we commit to you today that which we have named. Help us always to be ready to re-evaluate our lives in the light of your challenge and in the light of your love and your mercy. Lord, we pray. Amen. So when I, one of the things I do on a Sunday morning is I open my inbox, have a wee look at the emails, see if there's any explosions waiting to hit me. And this morning, there was an explosion waiting to hit me. And we are very grateful, brothers and sisters, for the fact that Tony and Sulhi have stepped in at the last minute and are playing for us. So thank you very much to the pair of you coming in as sub. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Sulhi, would you play for us? We are going to sing Beauty for Brokenness.
Speak, Lord of the glory.
Join to pray. Let's pray. God of judgment and of mercy, we pray for those entrusted with great wealth. And we recognize that on a world scale, we are among the wealthy. To see what changes can be made for the enrichment of others. For those entrusted with great power, that they would make changes for the good of those they serve.
for those entrusted with great influence. That they would make changes that would inspire others. We pray for those people and situations that are heavy on our hearts. Politics, war, hunger, wars and the rumours of wars. Lord, we pray. Violence, aggression at home, at overseas, and in people's houses. Lord, we pray. And we pray for ourselves, that we too might change. To be more approachable, more open, more generous. More like Jesus. In his name, we pray. Amen. So let us continue our worship as we make our offering.